welcome to another thrilling episode. It's the Truth and Reconciliation Podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It's great to have you with us. You are joining us live as we broadcast directly from the Buffalo Wild Wings in Frisco, Texas. Peter, I've got an important question for you, sir. How are you, sir?
Well, Seth, it's great to see you. I'm glad to be here live in person with you. It's been a while since I've seen you at all, and this is the first time we've ever podcasted live together. So,
where to look? Should I look at you? Should I look
right,
at my computer?
Right. I'm used to looking at my computer, but I feel like I should look at you since I'm here talking with you now. I do have one grievance to air with you as we start the show this evening.
I was wondering if that was going to come up.
When you moved us to starting to Periscope our podcasts, it forced me to wear a shirt while we talked. And now I am forced to wear pants as well. And I'm not sure how to feel about
pants?
This. Of course not. Wearing pants in the comfort of my own home at 11 o'clock at night? Who wears pants?
Well, I'm just getting you classier and classier by the evolution as our podcast continues to grow in both notoriety and professionalism.
Forcing me to walk on two legs instead of dragging my knuckles along the ground.
Well, hey, so what does your wife think about not only you actually wearing clothes, but also being gone? It is currently 11:15 at night. We're out technically at a bar. It's a guy's night in the middle of the week.
Right.
What does that say about us?
A lot of head shaking. I'm not so much concerned about my wife right now as the 30 or so people in the bar around us staring at us from time to time, wondering exactly what the heck we're doing in this corner over here.
Well, I'm pretty sure they're looking over at Envy. We're in the center of, you know, massive sports hub here at Buffalo Wild Wings with TV screens all around us, and we're the two awesome guys wearing headsets commenting on sports as it is. And so all the guys are over here giving us nods of respect. I saw a thumbs up earlier.
I was once in a work call, sitting in a similar setup, staring at my laptop with another guy also wearing a headset on the same call, and a senior manager walked in and said, "You guys look like you just came out of the weird science movie." I had to go watch the movie after the reference because I didn't know it. But there is a scene where they are some futuristic thing, and they're wearing these ridiculous headsets, looking at an 80s computer about to do something that's supposedly very cool.
Well, unfortunately, I am on my Mac laptop, and it is about 10 years old. I've resurrected it about 10 times in that 10-year period back from the grave. But I don't think it does anything but increase our awareness and our cool factor. I mean, it's kind of a retro statement also.
This podcast is really it's a vehicle for us to connect weekly as friends and talk about what's important to us, what really matters. And so there's lots of other things we could be doing with you in town right now, night out together. But what else would you rather be doing than this right here?
I cannot think of a single thing. I am excited to be here live. It's good to hang out with you face to face. I can't help but get a little emotional, actually, as I think about the depth and quality of our friendship. Not going to get all, buttery here in this moment, but I'm thankful for you, thankful for our friendship, and thankful for this venue that we have, this medium that we get to continue to build our relationship off of and have a lot of fun with a group of guys. But we are limited on time because, unlike our offices and our own homes, this time, this place has a closing time. And the waitress has already given us some interesting looks as it is. So we're going to need to expedite a little bit of our conversation tonight and jump straight to it as we recap this previous week and what a week it was. There were upsets. There were poundings. There were incredible performances, which still ended in a loss. And I'm sure that the wound is fresh for my fellow in arms here regarding that comment. So, Peter, why don't you give us a rundown of the highs and lows from this previous week as we look to figure out what's going to happen next week?
Yeah, so this week, the big story, clearly, is Seth Martin notching his first victory.
Clearly.
The monkey getting off Seth's back as he leapt to a commanding 40-point win with 175 points. Not doing the math, but I'm sure that's nearly doubling your season point total. and led by Greg Olson, Arizona defense, and we can't forget the all-important Mike Evans, who is a favorite of this podcast, and who I believe I forced you to start by recommending no less than four times last week that you have to start Mike Evans.
Nearly didn't make it in the lineup. If it weren't
but, so you are now you're undefeated when Mike Evans scores a point for you, and were it not for Mike Evans, you would be undefeated for this season. So how do you feel now that you have a notch in the win column? The arrow is pointing up, headed into next week.
I feel great. I think that this week's average score across the board was higher, and that my personal performance is not necessarily exemplifying what my team is capable of doing outside of a normal week, but it is much more in line with what I expected out of the team that I drafted. And so having the performance across the board high, I'm pleased with them. I'm proud of them. I feel like that pep talk that I did, that cross-country travel that I did to rev up all my guys paid off. And obviously, most of those guys are not going to – they're going to come back to reality inside that, especially my defense and Greg Olsen, although awesome. That's going to be a high bullet point inside his season. And so I expect to return to normal. However, it is nice to come out of the 0-2 column, the losing column, with such a victory to kind of rebuild some momentum and some relevancy. Now I think my trade talks have changed too. And so I've been receiving some communications from others. People are reaching out to me now. I feel like I've kind of re-entered relevancy now that people are seeing that my team is actually capable of performing. And so I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, you're right. This was a high-scoring week. As a total, the lead scored 1,732 points. The previous high this season was week one, where they scored 1,555. So, you know, about 180 points more this week. And this is also the first week where ESPN's projections really missed the total. They had projected at 1,530, and we shot past that by 202 points. So normally when ESPN projections are off, they are over-projecting, and we're 200 points under with the actual.
Well, I think
this time is 200 points over.
And I were all helping out on that regard.
Yeah, so, I don't appreciate the slight there, my friend.
Yes,
you, Derek, and Brent.
Us winners.
Yeah, you, Derek, and Brent did win. Yes, you did win with big scores, but we cannot forget the biggest loser in league history. Myself, putting up 180 points, fourth most in the league this week. Not good enough for a win, but it's okay. I've moved on. I wasn't expecting to win, and Brent put out an amazing performance to beat me, which he needed to do. So,
is that especially hard looking at Brock, who's 3-0, due to no,
I think if this was like week 10 instead of week 3, it would be a lot more difficult when the wins seem to matter a little bit more in magnitude. And at this point, there's still enough season left that I feel like Brock is going to come screaming down to earth, and hopefully I will continue on a steady path forward and have a little bit more favorable opponent matchups in the future.
Well, looking at your schedule, it seems that it's a lot more favorable moving forward. Of course, you and I have yet to face off to one another, and I believe that doesn't happen until week 7,
it's later in the season, yeah. Yeah, so I face Brent. That one's behind me. The other Titan that will be on the list for me will be Derek, who I'll face in 3 weeks. I'll get to take on Brock next week. And then you're the week after that. So week 5, 6, and 7, those look like tough matchups for me with Brock, Derek, and then you. So, but I'll be ready for the challenge. I'll have my guys ready.
Good to hear.
Now, on the other side of the coin, we did see Jared drop to 0-3. He is the lone winless team left in the lead. Unfortunately, he goes up against Derek this upcoming week. So that's a tough draw there. But Jared should not lose hope because we saw Derek 3 years ago start the season 0-4, and he came back and won the league championship.
That's right.
So we will. We will hold on to that glimmer of hope that Derek's ridiculous team gave us from 3 years ago. And at any time, a team can get hot. Derek's got some underperformers on his team, and just like Greg Olsen on your team, that there could be some positive regression coming where they're going to get their points by the end of the season, hopefully. And just the lack of points thus far in the season may mean just brighter things in the future for them. So we will we'll keep tabs on Jared this week. We'll be pulling for him in the with an upset victory over Derek, though we won't be placing any bets on that.
Sure. And speaking of Derek, let's talk about his team a little bit. Wow. I like Derek's team from the get-go. We had discussed after the draft that there were a couple of holes that we were worried about. That being said, do you still have the same concerns that you did about his team depth and whether or not he'll be able to sustain this? And are we looking at a score fluke this week, or are we looking at a new up-and-coming league runner from now between kind of the heart of the season on towards the playoffs? Is Derek going to continue to put up numbers that he has?
You know, I think my criticism of Derek's team after the draft was that I didn't see a RB1 or a WR1 on this team. I saw guys who fell just under that slot of where you wanted them to. But looking at what AJ Green and Larry Fitzgerald have done this season so far completely changes that narrative, because they're the number 6 for AJ Green and number 2 wide receiver to this point. And I mean, they're going to slow down at some point, but they're not going to be bad ever. Unless injury bites them. So AJ Green was hurt last year. Larry Fitzgerald was missing Carson Palmer last year. And so they were, I mean, hindsight's 2020, but they are obvious bounce back candidate guys who, were up against it last year. And as far as how the season played out, talented players who are now, you know, reaching their talent, the potential, in the most optimal of circumstances. So, that changes things, completely. For Derek's team, he's also got Cam Newton. He was the number 4 quarterback in the league. He's rushing the ball more, which always makes Cam Newton more valuable. And Derek also picked up Travis Benjamin, who is the number 9 wide receiver. So Derek's got 3 top 10 wide receivers. He's got Devontae Freeman, who's the number 2 running back, and is now in the starting role in Atlanta. So, I mean, there's a lot to love about Derek's team now, and really probably the scariest team in the league right now with a 200-point performance this year, this week, nearly topping the league record off by a couple points. Mm-hmm. And I think he put up 180 the week before. So he is on an upward trajectory, certainly. And I would not want to be playing against him. Sorry, Jared.
Right. Well, and with Derek's records also, we had a lot of new records. And one major first that you mentioned earlier to me as we were prepping, and that was that this was our first week of interdivisional matchups, correct?
So non-divisional. So the first 2 weeks, you played a team within your division, and then starting in week 3 for the next 6 weeks, you'll play someone outside your division before going back and playing everyone in your division to close out the year. That's how I set up the league schedule to create those divisional matchups at the end of the season. And so this was the first week of non-divisional matchups, and what we saw was that the Challengers division, which is all of the teams who didn't make the playoffs last year, they swept the whole weekend, and they won every matchup. So it was a 6-0 week for the Challengers division, or 0-6 for the incumbents, and I don't know if we've seen that before. And I think the Challengers, you know, led by Brock at 3-0, Brent and Derek at number 1 and number 2 in points scored, now the Challengers division looks much, much stronger than the incumbents, which I suppose is how it should work, perhaps, but it has never worked out exactly like that. So this is pretty exciting to see the underdogs to start the season of the Challengers taken off to as we go into week 4 here.
Well, I'm certainly excited to see the incumbents shaking in their boots a little bit, realizing that it's any man's game and that there's a lot of talent inside this league, and that the playoff spot doesn't necessarily separate you. You know, it's not the dividing line between the men and the boys. It really is a close race all the way to the end of the finish, and there's a lot of incredible, well-built teams and a lot of exciting matchups within our schedule. And going back to how you've scheduled us, Pete, we kind of landed on that tried-and-true schedule. I believe it was 2 years ago that we really discussed and hammered out how we were planning on doing and building our schedule, and so far it has continued to be proven as a very competitive but very well matched and even schedule through the season. I've never felt like anybody has a particularly unfair advantage or unfair disadvantage looking at the season overall. So props to you as a commissioner on
that. It's always worked out pretty well with some important matchups at the end of the season, and it's just a set formula. I just plug in the standings from the prior year, and it spits out the schedule, and then just I go tweak it. So it's been a good system to this point. And looking at this week's power rankings, the bottom four teams are from the incumbents division in the power rankings. So they've got their work cut out for them, or else we're going to see a lot of turnover in the playoff picture from last year to this year, which is always, I think, good and refreshing for the league. You never want to have any particular team feel like they can never get there, get in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I think we're definitely seeing the opposite of that right now.
Sure. Well, with the power rankings that you mentioned, there is certainly a don't worry, I'm not going to mention it yet. But we'll
not
talk,
my best effort.
We'll talk about that later. I wish you could find the commissioner. Is that something that happens in the NFL?
No, no.
As an organization?
The commissioner is omnipotent.
He's diplomatic immunity, huh?
Yeah, I think the commissioner can be fired, but he cannot be fined.
Okay. So we're going to have a league manager meeting.
Tell you what, you find a better commissioner, I'll step down. You find a better commissioner, I'll step down.
And we can't. Don't worry. One strike against you is not does not compare to the history of blood, sweat, and tears that you've invested into this league.
I appreciate
and your
that.
Leadership.
I appreciate you having a little longer memory than one missed power ranking comment.
Well, it didn't affect me. It affected your brother, and he was quick to jump on it.
Yeah, well, it was blatantly obvious, so it was a comment.
We are a keeper league.
Yeah, the comment was about rebuilding years are tough, especially when you're not in a keeper league, and this is most definitely a keeper league. Everyone knows it, and so that jumps out like a sore thumb. It's just lazy. It's just poor work.
Did you have any excuse? How did you miss it?
Well, so what I tend to do, my system for creating those comments is I go to, I kind of just write them as I'm inspired, as I look at a team, and I see if, you know, inspiration will just, you know, hit me as far as, zing, that's what that team needs to hear right now. And, you know, I went through them
all.
It
really is a gift.
I thought I'd hit every team, obviously overlooked Andy's. Maybe that was the comment within the comment, the kind of a meta comment there on his team was that he just overlooked it entirely. So that was the that's the joke. Maybe I should have played it off that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had a pretty significant change in power rankings this week compared to previous weeks. In fact, while we're on the subject of Annie, he had the most significant change in position. Going towards a negative trajectory.
Andy dropped from 5th to 10th, while Ben dropped from 7th to 11th. On the other hand, Usur jumped from 12th to 8th, and Scott jumped from 10th to 7th. Now, I'll probably be short-selling that Scott stock as it's rising a little bit. I'll take that number seven number seven position in the power rankings, and I'll short that. However, I'll be buying some Seth. I'll be buying some Seth as it's showing some signs of life.
Bye bye.
Yeah. I think big change in the power rankings this week, especially with all the points that were scored by Derek and yourself, that has a big impact. And still early in the season, there can be some pretty volatile shifts in the balance of the league from week to week. And so here we're looking at a league where we have 10 teams at 2-1 or 1-2, and depending on how those teams fare this upcoming week, we could see another week of significant shifts. However, we kind of do this. Do you feel like the power rankings are accurate at this point? Do you feel like they're pretty reflective as far as how do you actually think about each team? If you're going up against these guys, is this how you would rank them in terms of fear of playing them?
For the most part, yes. With two exceptions. The first being that our 3-0 team happens to be ranked 4th in the power rankings. And that's after declining a rank as of last week.
Yeah, and you know what? That feels about right, actually. I mean, I'm glad he ended up being ranked fourth. I would have been a little bit bummed if he ended up being ranked first at 3-0 because his points scored is 100 points lower than the third-ranked team, which is, you know, pretty significant after three games. But I think fourth is about right for him. You know, I do think Brock deserves to be about the fourth best team in the league. The only person under him who has outscored him is Michael with 395 points, which is a little bit of a surprise that Michael has scored the
hey man, when
has
you
scored
have,
the fourth
when
most
you
points
have
in the league.
Studs that yeah, are doing the trick.
Tom Brady and Julian Edelman go a long way towards that. So you know, congratulations to Chris who plays Michael this week with Brady and Edelman on bye. That will be an interesting experience for Michael's team to lose Brady and Edelman on bye this week.
Right. So Brock's positioning, I would say that two of those three wins were flukish at best, and so I put him more in the 5-6 slot. But he has still put up points, and so I know that's why. Warranted, and the outlook looking forward, he has potential to hang in there and have a winning season, and so that one maybe adjust a couple of numbers. Obviously, I'm feeling for mine. I think that Ben's four rank drop was a little severe for the quality of his team. Andy's, I think it kind of relocated him down to a little bit more of I think what our predictions were after the draft. A little bit more settled in there. But ultimately, it does look like a pretty good reflection. We still think that Brent is on top. Now, we also put Ben up top at the beginning of the year as well. And so that's a surprise to see Ben on the other side of the spectrum.
Yeah, I think Andy and Ben will both bounce back from where they are now. And I really wish Ben hadn't fell so hard after trading with me last week.
Do you really?
I really do. I have a reputation. I don't know if you realize, but
Being a team killer?
Yeah.
I'm aware of it.
It's bad business to trade with me. However, I love to trade, and I love to make trades, so it's not good for me when...
are you working to overcome this reputation of yours?
I try to overpay. I thought TJ Yeldon and Anquan Boldin for Brandon Marshall, I felt like I was overpaying there. I felt like TJ Yeldon was enough for Brandon Marshall on his own,
and so I threw
a pretty quality wide receiver in Anquan Boldin in there with it. So I felt like by overpaying, I was kind of I might be hurting part of the depth of my team, but I was getting a player I liked, and both Yeldon and Boldin, I think they combined for maybe 11 points last week.
There, yeah.
Yeah, you definitely don't want that reputation of if you're wanting to trade a player that they're going to flop immediately. So I'm a little bummed that those guys did. I hope everyone will continue to listen to my trade offers and not immediately slam the door in my face, despite what Brent's trade flowchart would say.
I'm hoping that my personal performance will also increase my relevancy, not only in the trade zone, which, like I said earlier, it already has, but also I'm hoping I buy a little credibility back with our Periscope audience. I think that as of late, this whole, are we going to really take Seth for his word when he's recommending start sit when his IVA is what it is, and his team rank and win-loss record is what it is? So now I'm thankful to say that maybe a little bit of trust chips have been reclaimed. Now, time will tell, and momentum will tell. But hoping that we can see an upward trend
now,
here.
We need to have Derek on sometime and quiz him about his IVA, his ideal versus actual lineup. Because through 3 weeks this season, Derek's optimal lineup has exceeded his actual lineup by 10 points total. So about 3 points a week that Derek is leaving on his bench, which is an insane performance as far as picking who to start and who to sit. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to
figure out what he's doing.
Rub his head or wear his underwear, whatever we need to do to get some of that good fortune.
That idea, but I understand what you're saying.
You would.
Pass, yes.
You would wear his underwear if you had the opportunity.
It's a wonder that you even wear underwear after all of this. Close
hey,
I
have boundaries. I just, prefer in the comfort of my own home to...
I don't want to discuss your boundaries and what you do in the comfort of your own home.
Now, you still left 15 points on your bench this past week, which is
far better than I've been.
Yeah, that's definitely a move in the right direction, but it's still not among the top performers.
IVA. Who is our top IVA?
Derek takes the cake there with 10 for the season. The next closest is Michael with 31, but that's more of a function of the team design there than it is of good management, where Michael just doesn't have any good players on his bench. So then Brock is next with 33. This past week, Derek led with 1 point left on his bench. Scott had two and change on his bench. So overall, we actually had a pretty good week. The most points left on the bench was Andy with 33. And Andy's was the only matchup that would have changed the winner and the loser if both teams had started their optimal lineup, where Andy would have won that game instead of losing it. Yeah. If he had put his ideal lineup out there. There's only been three games like that so far this season.
Let's take a minute to refresh our league members, our veterans, but also bring up to speed our new league members, what IVA is. IVA is considered the statistic for ideal versus actual, where we're comparing what league managers are scoring compared to their ideal lineup versus what they're actually bringing in. And we're using that to kind of base a rank off of how well a team is being managed. That start-sit convolution that we have week to week, that question of who do I play, who do I not play, looking at the bench versus looking at the playing roster over time, and then eventually getting an average that we get to compare across the league so we know who's the best. And right now, Derek is sitting at the top. You mentioned earlier that only Andy's matchup versus
Andy's matchup versus Chris this past week would have changed. Chris won it by 14 points. If both teams had run their ideal lineups out there, Andy would have won it by about 15. There's only been three games like that have changed the winner and loser this year based on the ideal matchup. And I think the key with ideal versus actual that we're looking for is it's not bench points. It's not how many points did you score on your bench. It is how many points could you have scored with your lineup. So if you've got, for instance, this past week I had, you know, four wide receivers who scored over 20 points, but I had two on my bench who scored about 15. Well, that doesn't matter because I put my ideal wide receivers out there. So, you know, those bench points don't really matter for anything.
Sure.
Really that's a credit, that I had the ideal wide receivers out there. And it's not just a total bench points scored. So I think that's the differentiating factor there. And really this is something that ESPN should be doing on its own. Instead we manually track it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. The fact that they haven't paid us yet makes me think that, one, we should license this quickly, and two, we're just one listener away from a vibrant, exciting career in fantasy football commentating.
Yeah, the NFL.com leagues, they get to do cool stuff like this, and Brent has shown me he's in an NFL.com league, and they will show your optimal versus your actual versus projected on like a nice little bar chart that's very, you know, visual and looks very clean and slick. While ESPN hasn't changed their website in the last 15 years, or at least the functionality of some of the core components of it. They have refreshed the homepage, which just makes it more difficult to find anything.
Yeah.
And
you can paint a turd gold, but it's still a turd. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Now, granted,
yeah.
I really like this one. I think that ESPN's draft suite, as long as it's functioning the way it should be, is strong. I still like the interface. I want them to upgrade the way it looks. I like the basis of functionality, especially how it integrates with Fantasy Pros. Gives me enough content. But we could talk about stats and data and things all day long, but what our listeners want to hear about moving in, and in the 11 minutes that we have remaining in today's podcast, we're, of course, going to look at this next week. And so let's get a rundown of who's playing who. Who's got the toughest game, and of course, what is our game of the week? And so, Pete, what are your thoughts on this up and coming week's matchups?
All right, so this is an interesting week because looking at it, there is not a clear cut game of the week, matchup of the week, and I think it's because we see a pretty good disparity in the power rankings between the teams matched up. For example, you'll see myself as the number three team versus Scott at number seven. You'll see Brock at number four versus Ben at number 11. You'll see Jared at number 12 versus Derek at number two. Chris at number five versus Michael at number six. So those two are the closest together. However, Michael's team is decimated by the bye week this week, so it's not as close of a matchup as you think it might be. And then, Seth, you're going up against Brian this week. That's an 8-9 matchup there. However, I think the recent trend, not putting too much stock in 1 week, but I think your team is healthy now and is in a good position there. So that may actually be the closest matchup of the week. And then Andy at number 10 is going against Brent at number 1. So there's pretty big disparity in the power rankings of these matchups. I think the two games to watch for is probably you and Brian, both at 1 and 2, kind of at a critical juncture of the season. Mm-hmm. You put up the big score last week, and you continue that into this week. And then also Ben against Brock, because Brock is undefeated and will probably drop a game at some point. While Ben is 1 and 2 and currently projected to beat Brock in points. So that is probably a game to watch there as well. So not one clear cut game of the week. Still some interesting matchups, and I don't know how you want to proceed here with the 9 minutes that we have, including packing up our stuff and getting out of here. But quick thoughts: are there any clear cut favorites that you see this week, as far as games that you don't expect to be too close, and which ones do you expect to be very close?
Well, honestly, by looking at it, I know that. There are some locks, and I think we can go ahead and write those off. We're going to give Vegas bet win to Derek over Jared. Jared, we're pulling for you, man. We want to see that W up on the board, but right now you're going up against Goliath, and we don't see much of a David story here in this case. And so David might get crushed this time around. Switching over to Chris and Michael, that is an interesting matchup, but like you said earlier, there is a bye week decimation, particularly hitting Michael a little harder, and so it looks like Chris has the upper hand going into it, and so that's another lock that I'm willing to say we have a stronghold on. Now, a big match where kind of the underrated consistency right now, I think, is Brent. You know, we're talking about Derek a lot. We're talking about your score, my score. We are flukes, whereas Brent has continued to charge this season with high, high board. And right now he's playing Andy. Andy is recovering at a 1-2 schedule. I think it's another lock, but it's worth taking a closer look at Andy and Brent's teams. Right now we've got, of course, Andy rocking Aaron Rodgers up top, with Justin Forsett and Mark Ingram, Emmanuel Sanders as his number one wide, Doug Baldwin following that. And I read down this list, I'm like, man, that's a great solid 1-1-2-1-2 spot between his QBRBs and even that wide, but and his tight end is Martellus Bennett. And so there's strength across the board. I still like his team. He does have the Packers defense with Aaron Rodgers as a pair. And he's got Nick Folk, a long-term beloved kicker, who's on more than one occasion carved out a win for a team in the past on top of a close running matchup. And so he's got a great team. Whereas you flip over to Brent, Andy Dalton's having an incredible season so far. Le'Veon Bell is back and performed pretty well, but not quite at his A game just yet. Frank Gore has revitalized himself somehow. And is not playing like the dinosaur that he should be. And Julio Jones is on fire. Absolutely, absolutely on fire. So what is your take on these matchups? You know, when push comes to shove, I think that Brent has it. But I think Andy actually has a fighting chance if Brent's team underperforms. What are your thoughts, Pete?
Yeah, so in week one, Brent scored 209. In week two, dropped down to 120. And then week three, back up to 200. So 200 points at any point during the season is impressive, and to do it two out of the first 3 weeks is a dominant performance. And you know, Keenan Allen may be the kind of player who drives that sort of performance for Brent, where in week one he scored 32, and in week two he scored 2, and then in week three he scored 37. So he's got 30-point swings from Keenan Allen going up and down there. So
right.
If he continues to have that sort of up and down performance, then Andy has a shot here. I think, however, Le'Veon Bell will anchor Brent's team at a much higher floor than what we saw in week two when Brent did not have Le'Veon Bell.
I think you're absolutely right.
I think Brent will probably take this one without much difficulty, and I'm willing to go ahead and lock in Brent there.
All right.
Which leaves us with three other matchups. And then, so myself for Scott, not to, toot my own horn too much there or anything, but I'm willing to lock that in, for myself. And, I've got, hopefully, Arian Foster coming back this week, which I think will kind of do the same thing, as Bell did for Brent, which is, raises my floor, shores up the running back position where I'm a little bit weak, while I currently have four top 10 wide receivers, rolling out there, which I'm pretty happy with. So, I'm favoring myself, in this matchup, where Scott's got a couple of players in there who wouldn't really want to be starting when Percy Harvin and Darius Hayward Bay. So I feel strong about this matchup for myself this week. I like several of my players to continue their strong performance.
While
going into week four,
I appreciate your humility and not wanting to toot your own horn. I do agree that we can almost lock you in on here. I like Scott's team. He's got a lot of decent averages, but the real thing about his team is that he's missing those power hitters that are going to really carry him if the rest of his team underperforms. And so I think that it's safe to lock you in on top as well. That leaves us with two more matchups, one of which being mine. This week I am facing off against Brian. Brian's coming in at 1-2. I'm also at 1-2. This is a ranking head-up. I have momentum on my side. Kendall Wright has been an above-average wide for me at that number two, and he's sitting this week. I've got a decent fill for him, and so I'm not too worried about that. But this one actually could be really, really close. What are your thoughts?
I think your challenge is going to be Eli Manning. If you keep him at quarterback, he's going up against Buffalo, who's always a tough place to play, especially for opposing quarterbacks. We've seen Andrew Luck struggle there. We saw Aaron Rodgers struggle there at the end of last season. And then you've also got Alfred Morris, who struggled last week, and he doesn't get an easier draw this week on against Philadelphia, who has a very solid rushing defense. On the other hand, you do have Mike Evans in there. Latavius Murray is the number four running back this season.
Yeah.
So he's been strong there. Greg Olsen is now the number five tight end after a big week last week. So you do have some high points there. The best players for Brian, he's got Peyton Manning, who has not looked good, has performed well pretty consistently. And now it's to come back home and go over against Minnesota. He's got Chris Johnson's lineup for Arizona, who had a big week last week, but may struggle this week, or at least he won't see the same number of touches as he did last week, as Andre Ellington is returning. But I think the big thing here for Brian will be the Peyton Manning and Demaryius Thomas connection, which should be a strong one this week at home against Minnesota. So this is an even matchup. I think both teams have their high and low points. I think you've got your work cut out for you.
I do.
Here, and you know, having Kendall Wright on bye doesn't help you. This will be one to watch. I'm not sure I'm ready to pick a winner at this point.
Cause you have to. You're on the air.
Well, I'm not sure what you're going to do at quarterback or for Kendall Wright at wide receiver there on his bye week, so that makes it kind of tricky.
Well, my only real option other than what's available on the waiver wire after a Wednesday morning is throwing in big O Colin Kay, and so if we do that...
Yeah, you don't want to do that, though.
So that may answer that question for you. I'm not too worried about the wide spot. I'll be able to cover that with decent depth. I will be close. I'm willing to say it will be close.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to win this one by a margin of 5 points.
Yeah, I think this will be definitely one to watch. Close game coming up here. I'm going to go... I'm gonna root for you. I'm gonna pick you as well.
Because we're sitting next to each other. You're with
I'm a little scared to look in your eyes and pitch against you. So, all right, jumping over to the last matchup that we got to talk about. Ben looking to knock Brock off of his undefeated course has a pretty good chance of doing that this week. Ben's got both Colts wide receivers T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief going against Jacksonville. That should be a good matchup for him. The question mark here is going to be Marshawn Lynch, who plays in the Monday night game and is 50-50 to play, according to reports. So that is that's always tough to handle on a Monday night game.
Yeah.
That could be what swings this matchup. If Lynch doesn't play and Ben doesn't have a Monday night coverage for that, then he could be in some deep water here while Brock will look to continue his favorable streak of opponents scoring low against him. However, he does have Adrian Peterson, who went full beast mode last week while Lynch was not able to, and might just be warming up to be the AP of old.
Maybe so. Well, looking at it, I'm very, very excited about this game of the week and this matchup, strictly because there's an opportunity to break Brock's fluke of a winning streak. Now, I say fluke. There were a couple of wins early on that, especially, you know, I'm still a little bitter about my matchup with him where Mike Evans' non-play made all of the difference. That being said, his team has really kind of come into relative existence in that I think that he's competitive now. I do think, however, that this week he's got his work cut out for him. I think that that crazy winning streak is going to be broken and that Ben's going to come out on top, and we're going to have a very close race inside our division and league at that point.
Yeah, I think if Lynch plays, I give it to Ben. If Lynch does not play, I give it to Brock. So that's that'll be the linchpin of the matchup.
Fair enough.
as it were. Brock's got Ben this week and then me next week, so it could be a tough upcoming schedule for him. It might be coming back down to earth here very shortly. We shall see.
Indeed we will. Well, that's going to conclude this week's matchup podcast. We are very, very excited to see what's happening in our league. A lot of make or break moments for us, and it's around, and I remember discussing even last year that week four, week five run really begins to sink in how critical the next few weeks are in your race for the playoffs. The season is a lot shorter than we realize, and it goes by a lot quicker, and those W's and those points scored matter more and more each week. And so,
And I think the points scored becomes less of a priority as the W's do, because you've got bye weeks to deal with, you've got injuries to deal with, so you just want to scratch and claw that win whatever way you can. And, you know, this next stretch of 6 to 8 weeks where you got, you know, bye weeks every week, is critical, and, it will really shape the playoff run. Let's go into it. You know, hopefully we see lots more trades happening, in the league. Hopefully
there's
those offers out there. Yeah, not with me, obviously.
We'll see a few.
I'm always pretty aware of, the upcoming trade as they're about to happen I'm the conduit through which much contact happens, but hopefully those will come to fruition in some teams making some deals, so that's always exciting. Whether I'm involved in it or not, I always appreciate seeing a good trade out there.
Sure. Well, we'll see what's to come. Thanks for joining us on this very, very special edition of Truth and Reconciliation, broadcasting live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Frisco,
our new sponsor.
Texas. Our new and obligatory sponsor. We'll see whether or not they gave us a discount on our bill. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in with us tonight. We'll see you next week. Good night.